Let's open our Bibles to the book of Jeremiah, but Jeremiah chapter 9. Just a brief thought out of a couple of verses here. I was recently reading these and praying about what God would have me bring for tonight. Jeremiah chapter 9, verse number 23 and verse number 24. Thus saith the Lord, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, neither let the mighty man glory in his might. Let not the rich man glory in his riches, but let him that glorieth glory in this, that he understandeth and knoweth me, that I am the Lord which exercise loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth. For in these things I delight, saith the Lord. Father, as we spend just a few moments considering the thoughts of these two verses, Father, may our hearts be directed heavenward with gratitude and full of thankfulness for what you've done in our lives. We'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. This passage is found in the midst of some pretty extreme judgment being pronounced on the nation of Israel. We're all, I believe, familiar with the time of Jeremiah. He prophesied until the southern kingdom was taken into captivity. He was forced to go into Egypt when they left the promised land after the Babylonians had left a remnant behind. He was given a choice. You can come back to Babylon with us, we'll take care of you, or you can stay here and have the best of the land. And he said, I want to stay in my homeland, and he did. And through different circumstances, and you can read in the scriptures, he was, when that remnant decided they needed to flee into Egypt, he was forced to go with them. But terrible judgment is being pronounced. But in the middle of this judgment, God says these words that we read. And I think it's just encapsulating just a wonderful thought, something that I never get over. I never get over the fact that God saved me and allows someone like me to get to know him. And that's exactly what God's talking about here. When he talks about that glorying, that just means don't talk about or don't brag about all these things. If you're wise, don't stand up and proclaim your wisdom to others and show off at your knowledge and what you know. That's not anything that pleases God or gives God glory. And then he talks about those that are mighty, those that are strong. Don't you love the lions? I mean, what a game they had. Now, you know, we get excited about it, but they never should have been that far behind in the first place. But nevertheless, they did come back and pull it out. But man, those guys are strong. There's some big fellows on that team. I'm not sure if it was the rookie. I think he played right tackle in the game. I think the fellow's like 6'10", 330 pounds, just a massive guy. Imagine how strong that guy is. Or even Blake Corm from Michigan. He can bench press, 200 pounds 30 times? Or was it 200 pounds or a little bit more? I don't know. But anyway, just ridiculous strength. You look at that guy's arms, man, they're as big as my waist. And that's why he's such a powerful runner. But God says, don't go around bragging about how strong you are. Now, not all of us have that strength, but those that do. And he says there's nothing wrong with wisdom. Wisdom's a good thing. And he elevates wisdom all through the book of Proverbs. And there's nothing wrong with being strong. But he says that shouldn't be the subject of our conversation. And then the third one he talks about there in verse number 23 is riches. And God blesses others perhaps more than some. And all of us, if we would travel to a third world country, would realize just how well off we really are. Sometimes we compare ourselves with each other and we think, man, I don't have much. But we have a lot more than most of the world. The Filipinos kind of put it into perspective. They said, you got a car? And of course, the answer is yes. They said, man, you're better off than almost all the Filipinos. And, I don't remember if I mentioned it from the pulpit or not, but they were just thrilled. We had them over for lunch a few weeks ago and had ham. And man, they thought that was the greatest thing in the world, man. They were just tickled pink. And they shared that they only have ham during the Christmas season. And then they usually don't eat it because it's so expensive. They put it on the table because that means you've got a well-prepared table if you have ham on it. That's the crowning touch. And, And we look at Ham, we think, you know, we can take it or leave it. But it just shows how rich we really are. But God says, you know, he's blessed us beyond measure. So much so that we as the United States citizens are spoiled. We really are. We just think this is the way it ought to be. And that's just not the case. No land has ever been blessed in the history of our world like our country. No people have been as well off as we are. And even if we're on the lower end of that, we're much better off than probably 99% of anyone who has ever lived. But God says, even though I've blessed you so greatly, don't go around talking about those blessings. He says, here's what I want you to talk about in verse 24, that we understand and that we know him. Think about that. Think of who God is. And as I said, I never get over this, and I feel like I talk about it a lot. Maybe I don't, but I feel like I do. Just the fact that God is creator. He spoke everything into existence where there was nothing. He didn't take some wood and build something, and he didn't take some dirt other than man and build something. He just spoke. And you know, the dirt that he took, we think, well, he didn't just speak man into existence. He had to build him out of the clay. But where'd the clay come from? He spoke that into existence. And so that's the power of Almighty God. God, who was unhappy with mankind because the thoughts of man's heart was only evil continually. And so God just brought this torrential flood, covered every mountain on the face of the earth. It's such an awesome thing that God did that most people today will deny that that ever happened. If they will allow it to be somewhat literal, that there really was a flood, most of them just allegory and say, oh, that never happened. That's just an allegory. But if they'll say, well, there was a flood, they'll say, well, it was only there in the Jordan Valley. I mean, it was just, or in some local flood. It didn't flood the whole world. That's just silly. That's ridiculous. That could never happen. Look how tall Mount Everest is. Mount Everest is tall, but it wasn't that tall back then. But even if it was, God would have flooded it above the top of it so that the ark could go over without hitting the bottom. That's who God is. The same God who, when Jesus was on the earth and was betrayed and then crucified and put in that tomb, just like we sang tonight, what did he do? He arose. Now, he didn't call for the doctor. They didn't call the ambulance. They didn't anything. Jesus told them before it happened, said, look, I'm going to die, but I'm going to raise myself from the dead. We can't do that, but he can. This is who God is. And then when you think of his holiness and our sinfulness, the fact that God not only has never sinned, he can never sin. He has never been tempted with evil. Think about that. And then we see our weakness, and to think that God still wants to fellowship with us. Now, I've always been in churches with bus ministries. Bus kids are a whole nother creature. And, you know, sometimes they haven't bathed, seems like a couple of months. And they've worn the same clothes for a month straight. And, you know, it just, the way it is. Can you imagine taking a kid like that and giving them a hug? And just putting them in your lap and being very kind. I mean, that's not even a good comparison to what God does for us. Us being that bus kid and God being the one who loves them and shows some affection to them that they probably don't get anywhere else. But God does that. He's so perfectly holy, and yet we're so vile and sinful. God says, this is what I want you to talk about. Notice the last words he says in verse number 24. He says, in these things I delight. It thrills him to make himself known to you and me, that we can just not just know him, but that we can understand him. Now, we're never going to fully comprehend God. He's greater than what our finite minds can grasp. But we can understand certain things about God as revealed himself in his word and in our experiences. And it delights God to reveal himself to us, and he wants to be the subject of our conversation. Not just here at church, and not just in our homes, but he wants to be the subject of our conversation wherever we go. He wants us to tell the world that he is good. He wants us to tell the world, well, just look what it says there, that he's loving, that he's the judge, and that he's righteous. In these things I delight. And so let him that glorieth glory in this, that he understandeth and knoweth me. That's what I'm thankful for, that God lets me understand and know him. I can't think of anything to be more thankful for, though I have many things to be thankful for. I think that is first and foremost. And so I hope that will be on your list of things for which you're grateful. And we had some good thoughts and good things shared this evening, and praise the Lord for that. I'd like to spend time doing that. I don't think we do that often enough, but we'll go ahead and be dismissed in prayer. Father, we're grateful for all that you've done for us. Grateful especially for salvation, that you sent your son to die in our place. What a marvelous thing that was. Marvelous example of your love for us. And Father, we know you didn't end with that. You could have, but you didn't. Father, you adopted us into your family, and you bless us on a daily basis, and you watch over us and care for us so tenderly and so gently. Father, help us to respond by glorying in these things and sharing that with all that will listen, in order that you'd receive the glory from our lives. Now, Father, as we're dismissed this evening, we pray that you would bless us, bless each one with a wonderful Thanksgiving and time with family and friends. Well, thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.